Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and sure enough, one did pop up over there. It was kind of this afternoon, but hey, it still popped up over there, and it's new, so head on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Well, if you could like that while you're over there, that would be cool. We'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan is at?
Dan, Big Man of Three.
All right, Dan. So, you know, we went over it a little bit yesterday, but today we have our first, you know, I guess we'll call it real effects of what the coronavirus is doing. Tonight's Golden State Warrior game, I think they're hosting the Sacramento Kings, will be played in front of nobody. They're not going to allow anybody into the arena. The NCAA came out today and announced that for both the men's and women's tournament, which starts next week, they are only going to allow essential personnel and family into the building for the games. And the Mariners apparently have altered their schedule, Dan. They were supposed to open at home. They don't want to play in front of nobody, so they're going to change the schedule, and I think the Mariners are now going to open on the road. So I don't know. What do you think? They doing the right thing here? You digging this just to be safe, or, you know, should they, you know, ban the Torpedoes, just go full steam ahead?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things I got to ask is, you know, are those Warriors fans getting a free ticket next year? Because I know they don't get refunds.
Yeah, you know, that I haven't heard. I don't know how they're handling the ticket situation. I would think in a, you know, a situation like this, I believe they almost have to, don't they? I mean, because it's, you know, it's your choice. It's not, you know, somebody else's choice to miss the game. I do find it interesting. I want to double check it, but I believe that game is televised. So I, you know, that would be kind of interesting to watch to see how it goes with basketball. I mean, you know, we did mention we did have it with the White Sox and the Orioles. I don't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago. And that was a bit strange to, you know, to kind of sit through. And I can just imagine, you know, baseball, there's not, you know, the constant movement in basketball. I bet this would be really weird to watch, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, it keeps them focused on the game, I guess. I don't know.
So, yeah, you know, I guess it would.
Or I need the camera, really.
And I think somebody lied to me. Where is this game? I thought they said it was. Oh, it's actually tomorrow night. Excuse me. It's a Thursday night game. So I had heard today it was Wednesday. So, but yeah, the games you get tonight, Dan, you get the Nuggets and the Mavericks. That's the first game on the Mickey Mouse Network. And then the nightcap has the Pelicans at the Kings. So you'll get to see Zion Williamson if you stay up late enough. No, you're not interested in seeing Zion Williamson?
Actually, I'm off tomorrow. So
oh.
I'll probably kind of check that out because I have not seen a young man play yet. And I guess he's living up to everything that he could as a number one draft pick.
Yeah, you know, he's, you know, I got to see a little bit of him live. I didn't, you know, watch a ton of him play. But, you know, it's an NBA game, so I think I probably saw about a quarter. And, you know, it was, you know, I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, he's really athletic for, you know, that body type. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I agree with everybody who says he's now the rookie of the year basically just because he came back. I think Ja Morant has about 50 games of quality playing time on him. But you know, they're going to do what they're going to do and give him, you know, give Williamson the award. But that's just how the NBA goes. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a popularity league, isn't it?
Well, you know, he was supposed to win it from the start. You know, that was the plan all along. So even though he got hurt, you know, the only way he wasn't going to win it was if he didn't play at all. You know, he could have probably played about 20 games and they would have still given him the award. So, no. So, but now I'm interested to kind of get your take on this, because to me, I don't know if I want to say disappointed or upset or maybe just childish, but you know, this may be something down the line as a parent that you might have to deal with. But you know, and it is basketball related. They are saying that Dwayne Wade's son, who is a senior, I believe his name is Zaire Wade, is actually going to skip his high school's championship game on Saturday because, and you're going to get this, daddy, who of course would be Dwayne Wade, doesn't think the son is playing enough. So here's his quote, Dan. I will not be there. My son isn't playing, and I don't want to do nothing to the coach. I won't be there, but I'll be rooting for the kids. Okay. I don't even really know how to take this, Dan, except this kind of reminds me of what my parents used to tell me was a poor sport when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I was also going to say, when did he change his last name to Paul?
Right, yeah, that was the second thing that kind of popped into my mind was that he, you know, he's kind of turned into, what's the father's name, Lamar?
Yeah, I couldn't think of it either.
Yeah, so, but, you know, and he's on the team with both of with LeBron's kid, Bronny. And you know, I just don't seem to get the issue. Apparently, this team is quite loaded, from what I'm reading here. They have multiple 4- and 5-star prospects. Kid is looked at as a 3-star prospect. So it would kind of make sense that playing time might be a little tougher for the 3-star kid with the 4- and 5-star kids in front of him. But yeah, apparently Wade's going to take his ball and go home.
I mean, I think you summed it up by saying it's childish.
So yeah, what's really disappointing for me is I always liked Dwayne Wade. You know, I liked him as a player. You know, he's from the area, of course. You know, he went to – did he go to Marquette? Is that where he played college ball at, I think?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a Chicago guy, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, nice to see a guy do well. And granted, he, you know, he stunk with when he was with the Bulls, but let's face it, he was past his prime there. And it's just kind of sad that, I mean, you know, if the team wins the championship, is his son a champion?
Technically.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It just seems, you know, like a, I don't know, bad teammate, however you want to look at it. I think it's terrible to do. And, you know, you should let the kid play, even if he's only, you know, let the kid dress, even if he's only going to play a couple minutes. You know, give him the experience of playing in a championship game, because, you know, a lot of us don't get that opportunity. I mean, you know, I was never on a, you know, a basketball team that played in the championship. I don't know about you. So.
Well, I mean, if he's going to pull him out of that, he might as well just send him to college and give up on basketball altogether.
Yeah, well, you know, and that kind of bodes the next question then. You know, when he goes to college, are you going to, you know, are you going to pull the Lamar, you know, LeVar Ball, LeVar, I think that's his name. You know, are you going to pull the LeVar Ball and yank the kid out when he doesn't start and, you know, take him overseas or whatever, you know, you end up doing with, you know, your guy Jello, who, you know, now I believe he just signed with a G League team. So, you know, he's still kind of hanging in there, but, you know, it doesn't look like he has any real NBA future. I mean, is this the path that Wade's kid is going to follow?
I kind of feel like that's the only path he's going to have.
So, you know, and I mean, I guess it's, is it oddly poetic that, you know, Wade was never as good as LeBron James and now his kid isn't as good as Bronny? is that just kind of how this all works out?
I mean, isn't that kind of what you're saying to your son? Well, you're not as good as these guys, so you might as well just quit playing.
Well, you know, that would kind of be, you know, my reaction as a kid. It would be like, well, you know, Dad, it's the championship. Why, you know, why can't I play? But, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, it's a different world now. And, you know, maybe the kid thinks he should be the starter and playing, you know, 35 plus minutes a game. So.
Do I even play that much?
I think so. I don't know. I was just kind of basing it off of, you know, what the actual NBA guys play. So, but yeah, so we'll, you know, if I remember, I'll look at it and see if, you know, there's anything of interest that continues to come up with it. But I doubt I'll remember unless it makes the kind of headline. So we will have to see. But I did notice, Dan, and I'm telling you, there's something going on. We another day, and we've got another Yankee injury. This one was Zach Britton. He got hit with a comebacker while he was pitching. Looked like it got him in the wrist. They were saying that the initial reports was that there were no structural damage. But, yeah, you know, you add one more – you know, one more flaming pile of injury to a Yankee pile that's, you know, that's growing here. I don't know, Dan. I'm telling you, I think they're jinxed.
I think you're right. I think you did it somehow.
It's, well, you know, and the weird thing is I haven't even had any of these guys on my fantasy team. So it's not me this time. I'm not doing it. You know, I mean, I normally take the blame for, you know, like the things I did to Chipper Jones and, you know, all those other guys through the years. But I'm actually completely innocent this time. And I was just kind of like, wow, I don't know what goes on with this team, but they just, you know, they just can't get a break. And, you know, luckily this one doesn't appear to be serious. So, you know, that's a plus. And, you know, he's just going to need some recovery time to, you know, to get to return. He should be ready to go by, you know, by opening day. It shouldn't be an issue. But, yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think, man, if I'm wearing a Yankee uniform, Dan, I'm walking around wondering if I'm next. So, I don't know. I mean, what the heck is, I guess there's really nothing they can do. I mean, it's just kind of, odd luck. But, I mean, how are you feeling if you're, if you're a Yankee at this point?
I'm still a little nervous. But I do feel like, their real competition lies in the Red Sox. They're still a good team. So.
Well, you do have Tampa Bay. You're not buying the Rays.
No, I'm sure they'll hang out, kind of do what they always do. But I don't think they'll make it.
So, that's kind of, kind of what they do there. So, we'll have to see. Okay. Oh, okay. this threw me off here, Dan. I didn't realize this, but apparently, you and I talked about Johannes Cespedes yesterday. Apparently, he has a half-brother by the name of, I'm going to guess this is Jokis Cespedes. And when I saw, I when I first saw it, it's because it says this Jokis, who is 22 years old, who left Cuba last June and is going to put on a showcase for Major League Baseball later this month in Florida. They said it to be declared a free agent. I was like, wait, Cespedes is going to be a free agent? So I was like, okay, I just kind of screwed that up there. But, yeah, that just threw me way off. But, yeah, so we may have another Cespedes. Of course, he is only 22, so I don't know if he'll, going right into the majors like his brother did. So we'll have to see how that goes. So, and then, I did want to – I wanted to get your take on this because I found this kind of interesting, I guess, to a point. Did you see that Jose Bautista is planning on – I don't know if he's going to try to make a comeback in the majors, but apparently this is something he's going to do in the Dominican Republic. And he's going to try to be a player on their Olympic team as a two-way player. Do you think we're going to see more of this now that we've got the Shohei Ohtani reference to kind of build off of and all that other kind of odd stuff that goes on with these guys now? Hang on, I lost Dan here, and now I'm all over the place trying to get him back in. So it is Wednesday, right? That's normally when we have our technical difficulty Wednesday. So it looks like we're rolling that way. Yeah, Dan, I'm waiting for the website to respond to me so I can bring you back in and actually talk to you. So hopefully you can hear me, but we'll see what goes on here. You never know on Wednesdays here, but yeah, that seems to be the thing right now. Bautista, who is, what is he? He's 39. And he did apparently, he said that he has no plans to officially retire. And he's going to try to come back as a two-way player. Dan, are you buying we're going to see more of this? I thought I heard you come back there.
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about, though.
Jose Bautista.
He's going to try to pitch?
Yes, he is going to try to make the Dominican Republic Olympic team as a two-way player.
Oh, I thought you meant Major League Baseball.
Well, he did say he has no plans to officially retire. So, you know, if it did work out, he would, you know, take a look at the majors as a two-way guy if somebody offered it. So are you buying this for not only, you know, good old Joey Bats, but do you think we'll see more of this? Okay. Yeah, let me bring you back. There you go. Now you can answer, Dan. You went to mute for some reason. So now you can answer. Are you buying this, and do you think we'll see more of it?
I think we'll definitely see more of the two-way player. I don't think we'll see more of Jose Bautista as a two-way player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think we'll see more veteran guys who are, you know, let's say trying to hang around a little longer, try this?
Well, I mean, do you think it becomes more of like a gimmick, like the knuckleballers?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to kind of wonder. And Bautista, you know, he didn't play for anybody last year. He had three stops in 2018. He was kind of all over the map. You know, he was with Atlanta and the Mets and Philadelphia. Right. You know, he hit a whopping 203. No, you know, I don't know what he has to offer anymore as a hitter. You know what I mean? Not that he was a great hitter anyways. He's got a career 247 batting average. But, you know, his game used to be power, and he hit 13 home runs in 122 games. So didn't even deliver a lot of that. So, yeah, I don't know. Unless he can give you six good innings, I don't know if this works.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, dude, you've got a guy, what the average span is, what, 9-10 years? On top of the minor league, you're looking at roughly 15 years. If you've never really pitched, how are you going to be viable to anything?
Yeah, you know, I think maybe if he threw left-handed, it might be something to – you know, to revisit, because for whatever reason, you know, those lefties hang around a long time. I mean, you know, Jamie Moyer found work until he was almost 50. So, you know, that could possibly be it. But, yeah, I just don't – I don't, good luck to him. You know, maybe it works in the Olympics against, you know, some amateurs, but I don't think I could see him doing this at – you know, having any kind of success with maybe double A. I don't even think he could succeed there, but I guess you never know. I'm just not really buying it.
No, and I think you're answering your own question. You know, what were the terms? You have to do 10 and 10. So, I mean, if you're not looking at how is he going to help your defense and offense, let alone your pitching. You know, the fact that they eliminated the one pitcher for inning.
Yeah.
You know, there really is no room for a guy trying to extend a career like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would probably have to be a really good pitcher. You know, I mean, like literally a lockdown reliever type guy for me to have – you know, and not only Bautista, but really any interest in any of you know, these veteran type guys who might try to do this. You know, I know Matt Davidson, the former White Sox. You know, he was going to go this route as well, and I don't remember where he ended up last year. I don't think he played in the majors. And I want to see if I can. I want to double check that before I go along. Yeah, he didn't get any major league at bats last year, but I thought he was with somebody in the minors. Yeah, he spent last year with Texas in the PCL. Do they have pitching stats for him here, by the way? Yeah, well, apparently it didn't go as planned because he only pitched one inning in the minors last year. To be fair, he gave up two hits but no runs. So, you know, he wasn't scored upon. But, yeah, he was, you know, I know he was going to try to be a two-way player, and I don't know, I guess that, you know, they didn't want to look at it, or I don't know what they thought, but apparently it didn't work. You know, either they didn't want to do it or what happened. And I don't know if he's still with Texas or if he ended up somewhere else. But, you know, as far as I know, he could still be a free agent. But, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if this works out. But, all right, enough of that, Dan, because I got to ask you this. And I am baffled by this, and I really need you to give me an answer. Why doesn't Yasiel Puig have a job?
Because everyone's afraid of him.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me that this guy isn't a starting outfielder in the major leagues. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous that this guy is still out of work. I mean, he's 29. You know, he's got the best arm in the game. And I don't know. It just, you know, it kind of disgusts me that he's sitting out here and, you know, I'm watching the Marlins flounder trying to work Jonathan Villar in as their new center fielder. You know, I mean, a guy who's played the infield pretty much all his career. When, you know, they've got a Cuban-born player out there available. And, you know, again, I don't know his contract term, so maybe, you know, I guess it's possible he could be asking for too much money. I don't know any of that. But I just don't get the reason that he's out here. You know, it makes absolutely no sense to me. And, you know, obviously, the longer that this goes on, the less impactful he's going to be for a team. And I don't know. I was hoping you had an answer.
Yeah, I mean, they're afraid. I don't know what they're afraid of.
You know, because I mean, I start thinking about, you know, the certain teams that are out there, and I mean, you know, I mean, we've talked about some of them. Obviously, you know, I mentioned Miami. You know, he looked like he would be a really good fit for the Cardinals, who, you know, don't have an outfield with a lot of power. But, you know, for whatever reason, they appeared to run away from him. You know, Giants decided to bring back Hunter Pence instead of, you know, Puig, and I like Pence, so, I mean, I get the deal there. You know, the Rangers brought in multiple guys instead of, you know, the Brewers ended up with Avisail Garcia. Obviously, I think Puig is better. And, you know, I just kind of keep, you know, shaking my head over when I see these things, and it's just, you know, it really bothers me when, his name comes up and he's not on a damn team.
Well, and, you know, is his on-base percentage too low? Has he not hit 40 home runs?
Well, he hasn't hit 40 home runs. Yeah, you know, yeah, he hasn't hit 40 home runs. But here you go, Dan. Here's the starting outfield for the Marlins has Corey Dickerson in left, Jonathan Villar in center, Brinsman. He Puig really isn't an upgrade over any of those guys?
I lost you for a minute. Villar's not going to work out in center. You might as well bring in Bautista and try to, you know, bring him in as a dual player if you're going to do that. I mean, the concept that you could just take a guy who's been in the league for as long as he has and just throw him in a new position. You know, that worked out great for Jason Kipnis, right?
Yeah. I'm under the impression that I believe somebody tried this with Villar before, and it didn't.
Well, didn't they try that last year?
So I'm gonna double check here.
Well, no, because wasn't Villar in Minnesota up in Seattle? Didn't they try that experiment when D. Gordon was hurt?
He's been in Houston, Milwaukee, and Baltimore. And both Houston and Milwaukee tried him in the season. How many games it actually was. For Houston, he played 2 games and 4 innings. In Milwaukee, he got 6 games and 39 innings.
And he's been in the league, what, 12 years? Or am I way off?
Well, not pretty close, since 13, so.
Well,
this will be his 10th year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
this will be his
10th.
Yeah, you weren't far off.
I mean,
so, yeah,
you know,
we're
talking thousands of innings in the middle infield.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in his career, he's played 3,075 innings at short and 2,436 innings at second. He's played 43 in center field.
Yeah, that makes for a great starting center fielder.
Yeah, he has played 21 and two-thirds innings in left field as well. But yeah, in 9 years he's played 64 and two-thirds innings in the outfield. But the Marlins' starting fielder.
And I mean, you know, I guess I forgot. You know, Big Jack, and you and I can definitely attest to this. As we've gotten older, we got faster, right? We were able to cover more ground a lot quicker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and luckily for Villar, it doesn't look like he's actually lost too much of his wheels. You know, I mean, he did steal 40 bases last year, so you know he still got some speed. But you just gotta wonder what he's gonna be like defensively.
Well, and that's where I was gonna go with that. And I mean, let's be honest though, the stolen base game is not what it used to be. So.
No.
I'm not going to discredit, you know, his amount of stolen bases, but all he's got to do is play the Cubs, and he could steal every time John Lester's up at the, you know, pitching. Because, you know, they've taken out stolen base as an opportunity to advance a runner and score, so much so that the pitchers don't even really acknowledge a guy when he's on first base. I mean, steal a whole lot of bases, but the bases I've seen that Rizzo and Schwarber have stolen, it would never have happened 25 years ago. They would have been picked off.
Yeah.
Or they would have been gunned down. So, you know, but like you said, covering all that ground, I mean, where is Brinson playing? I'm assuming he's in right.
Yeah, he's in right.
You know, and that's the other part of it. You're putting a guy who's played the middle infield, whose main job is covering the middle infield. You don't have as much ground to cover as you would in center field. You know, you're only really, I mean, if you think about it, infielders are kind of solo players. You're really only accountable for yourself, where if you're going to take on that center field role, you have a whole new job position to learn. And you're not responsible just only for yourself, like Dexter Fowler thinks. You're responsible for all three of you, especially being the center fielder. You know, I know that, you know, the infielder is supposed to be calling when they're running out to the outfield. But it's the outfielder's job to call them off. You know, and I'm not saying that he can't adjust to that or anything like that, but the routine that he's been in for nine seasons, you know, you kind of add on those minor leagues. That's not part of his routine. So that's where the errors are going to come in. And, you know, not having the experience of knowing how the ball plays in the outfield is going to be a huge disadvantage. And I get it. You know, your young kids aren't really going to have that same knowledge either. But essentially, so you're looking at having what an all-rookie outfield, you know, all-young guy outfield. And not only that, Villar isn't known for his arm, you know, so that's great. Anything, he's not going to cut anybody off. He's not going to stop anybody. He's going to be gunning guys down at third, you know, at third at home. And that was one of the things I was going to say before I got cut off with Bautista. That, you know, I'm not trying to drag that whole topic back up again, but he wants to dual player. It's not like this guy was known for his arm. You know, I mean, if you told me today that Yasiel Puig wants to go out to be a dual player, I could see that. Because not only does he have an arm to gun somebody down, he has accuracy. And, you know, I just don't remember, you know, Villar isn't on my radar for that kind of stuff. So I don't know how great outfields you're putting together, and I think they're just trying to continue to lose. Good for you.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess that they want to get all they can out of Brinson because he was the main guy they got back in the Christian Yelich deal, but he hit .170 last year.
Yeah.
Is he really going to be that much better? You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Corey Dickerson. I mean, you know, he'll hit you 25, 30 home runs, but really, is he better than Puig? I mean, that's the only thing he's got over him. Well, and he's left-handed if you want to go that route. But it's just baffling to me they're a 100-loss team. You might as well put somebody out there that your fans are going to want to come see.
You know, maybe they don't want to have anybody on a payroll over $5 million.
Yeah, maybe not. You never know. Now that they got rid of your guy Wei Ying Chin, they can cut salary.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're luxury tax.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned the Cardinals. You know, their projected outfield is Tommy left, Harrison Bader in center, and your guy Dexter Fowler in right. Last year they combined for 42 home runs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I believe Pete Alonso hit 50 on his own, and Jorge Soler hit like 47 or 48.
Yeah.
So, again, you can't, you know, this is another one of those deals where you can't tell me he doesn't fit. So.
I mean, you know, the one thing I can agree with you on is Puig would be a good fit for Miami for the fan base, this and that, like you said. But, I mean, in all reality, I think he would be better suited to be on the Cardinals because that would be a team that's actually going somewhere.
Yeah.
But
you
I also can see where Puig seems to be a guy who just loves the game, and I don't think it would affect him as much as if he was on a 200-loss team compared to a contending team. But I'll be right back.
You know, but yeah, it's just kind of, you know, odd for me. You know, like I look,
hello?
You know, like I thought about, you know, I thought about the, you know, the Diamondbacks bringing him in, and I know they went with Cole Calhoun, probably a cheaper option. Calhoun's, he's a solid player. He doesn't have anywhere close to like the upside that, you know, Puig had.
Huh?
Because
if it's Cammies, you should pop it.
You know, you do wonder if a team like, a real big-time contender, you know, would he fit in with, like, Atlanta, who could possibly use that, you know, that extra, you know, now, obviously, you know, he wouldn't be able to play right field because they have Acuna. But, you know, with Marcell Ozuna in left, and then they have, you know, good old Ender Inciarte in center, you know, Puig could be a big-time upgrade over Inciarte if you think, he could play center field, you know, that could be a big, huge, and I mean, he's athletic enough to. So I you know, I don't think that would be too big of an issue there. You know, you kind of wonder, you know, how that would work out. But yeah, it's just, it, you know, it's baffling to me when I go across, you know, some of the starting lineups, and, you know, you see these kind of things, and it's just like, wait, they're going to go with this guy when they could have, you know, when they could have Puig. And again, you know, like I said, I don't know what his contract demands are. So possibly that's a holdup. You know, I have seen some rumors lately about teams, you know, kicking the tires or, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe he'll get into camp. I know, like, here, just a couple of the rumors, you know, the Phillies and Puig, you know, the headline is it a match? Puig to the Red Sox. So, you know, there have been some, you know, some question, you know, some things out there at least that possibly, you know, may at least link him to talking to teams. You know, I know after the Conforto injury, there was some talk that the Mets might want to look into him. But I don't know. It's just kind of like, why, you know, why are we still floating out here? You know, and I mean, this, honestly, as odd as it is to say, this kind of seems like the thing where the Tampa Bay Rays sweep in and pick him up on a one-year deal for really cheap. And, you know, he goes out and has a, you know, a monster year for them. Now, to be fair, they have a pretty good outfield. You know, you're looking at Austin Meadows in left, Kevin Kiermaier in center, and Hunter Renfroe in right. You know, they signed Yoshi to, what did I decide this was? I know I said it the other day, to Sudgo, or yeah, you know, the Japanese import, and, you know, he'll spend time at, you know, most of the time at designated hitter. They also picked up Jose Martinez from the Cardinals and Manuel Margot from the Padres. So they really don't have that available roster spot that normally Tampa Bay kind of has, like they did last year with Avisail Garcia, where, you know, they kind of, you know, swooped in and picked him up for little money, and he went out and had a fantastic year and got a bigger deal from the Brewers. So, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I mentioned the Giants earlier, and they're looking, you know, it's Alex Dickerson in left, Billy Hamilton in center, and Mike Yastrzemski in right. You know, obviously, Hamilton is a great defender. He's not much of a hitter. Puig would be an upgrade over him or Dickerson. So, I guess maybe there's a chance the Giants may still do something with him. You know, it's tough when you look at it. You know, obviously there was a chance before the White Sox went out and traded for Nomar Mazara that, you know, he could possibly be a fit. But yeah, I just don't know. And again, like I said, it baffles me that he's just kind of sitting out here when, you know, all these other guys kind of have jobs, and I don't get it. I mean, you do wonder more and more if he becomes maybe a viable option for the Red Sox, because, you know, Alex Verdugo is dealing with, I think it's a lower back or a sore back or something. So, you know, that could, you know, possibly create an opening. What do they have here? Yeah, because without him, you know, well, they did sign Kevin Pillar. So, you know, they do have the veteran there. I'm looking here. Yeah, they have the injury listed as stress fracture in back for Alex Verdugo. So that's not good. So, you know, we'll kind of have to see how that goes. But, you know, without him, you know, their outfield would be, of course, Benintendi in center, or in left, Bradley in center, Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, and then Kevin Pillar in right. you know, it could be easy to plug Puig in right field and let Pilar be the fourth outfielder. You know, I don't think that would be a huge issue at all for the Red Sox to do, depending on how, you know, how Verdugo's health is. But yeah, he could add another really nice bat to that order. You know, and I mean, if he got enough at bats, he could be a 50 double guy in Fenway, you know, hitting stuff off the monster. I just, you know, again, it's just one of those things that I look at and I think, man, why, you know, why is this happening? But yeah, I would love to know. Again, I'm just kind of, you know, throwing these things out, trying to figure it out. And it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me that, you know, he's sitting on the sidelines while, you know, Miami tries to pencil Jonathan Villar into a position and the Cardinals have an outfield that they used to have in the 80s when they didn't hit home runs. So,
I mean, and obviously, do you think the White Sox spent too much money elsewhere that's why they didn't really go after him?
Well, you know, once they traded for Nomar Mazara, that was the end of
it.
Oh,
that's right. I keep forgetting.
You know, because he's going to be their everyday right fielder. You know, and then you think, okay, well, you got the DH spot, but then you sign Encarnacion, and,
yeah,
you know, you don't want him, you know, he's only a fill-in at first base. You know, you don't want him playing there more than maybe once a week. So, you know, there's just no, you know, there's no spot. But interestingly, Dan, I looked this up, and I am kind of curious maybe why Colorado didn't take a look, because right now, their penciled in starting left fielder is Sam Hilliard. All right, now I'm gonna tell you firsthand, I don't know a whole lot about Sam Hilliard, but I am going to look him up on Baseball Reference, and it will tell me that he got in 27 games for the Rockies last year. He hit .273 with 7 home runs.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, he was a 15th round draft pick in 2015.
By the Rockies?
By the Rockies.
Well, I mean, can you forgive him for that one? At least they're trying to work with what they, you know, what's in their system.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's their guy. And when you look at his numbers in AAA last year, where obviously he played the majority of the time, he hit .262 with 35 bombs. And when you look at this guy's career numbers, he's had power everywhere he's went except for 1 year at Double A. He just kind of fell flat and only hit nine. But every place else, he's been big numbers. You know, like he hit 17 in Class A, which is a big number. He hit 21 in High Class A. You know, then for some reason he has this weird down year where it's 9 home runs. And then last year, it jumps back up to 35 in the minors. So, you know, but yeah, like you said, at least it's their guy. You know, they're not trying to force something. So, I can deal with that one.
Well, and I mean, the other factor I wonder if they're not trying to add payroll too, because, you know, obviously,
right,
and,
yeah.
And you know, and what kills me is the rumor trying to move Nolan Arenado for straight up trade with the Cubs for Chris Bryant. Yeah, because that makes sense on both ends. but you know, I mean, well, it would make sense because the Rockies would get out from underneath all that money he's owed. But then, why the hell did you put that deal together? The rumor of them trying to unload Charlie Blackmon also. You know, and I forget how many millions he's getting paid. So, I don't know. I could see where they wouldn't really want to add any more payroll if they are truly trying to not, you know, but like I said, I think we could forgive them for using their own guy. He seems to have pretty good numbers, and, you know, maybe, and I'm not going to say he's Trevor Story, but maybe he could kind of be like that for them in the outfield. You know, one of the cool teams would be one of the West Coasters, but, you know, obviously both sides of L.A., are pretty locked on their outfield. You know, the Mariners aren't making any deals, right?
No, yeah, they're not. You know, they're not doing anything.
You know, we kind of rolled down the West Coast. San Diego, is that a possible landing spot? Or are you surprised that Texas hasn't even taken a look at him?
Well, you know, they did, but then they signed like everybody else. So, you know, and here to answer your question, Charlie Blackmon makes $21.5 million this year and next year. He has a player option for $21 million in 2022 and a player option for $10 million in 2023.
Which I see
but
him
yeah,
picking
I
up
can,
both.
I can definitely see why the Rockies don't want him. When you look at their payroll, Dan, they owe Wade Davis $17 million for this year, and there's a mutual option next year for $15 million. Ian Desmond gets $15 million this year, and at least it drops to $8 million next year. But Trevor Story gets $9 million this year, and then the contract jumps to $18.5 million in 2021. So they are you definitely understand why they're not adding.
I mean, what does Arizona's outfield look like?
Yeah, I went over that. It's while you were away. It's David Peralta. Who's the other guy? Ketel Marte and Cole Calhoun.
Oh, yeah, I did kind of hear that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the route they're going.
Wow. And obviously the Cubs can't pick him up because they have way too many second basemen, once again.
Yeah. You know, I looked at Texas here, and I know, you know, Willie Calhoun just got hurt, so you wonder how long he's going to be out with that fractured jaw. So the next guy up apparently in their lineup is Nick Solak. Again, another guy that I don't know much about, so we will jump on our baseball reference and see what I can find out about Nick Solak. Boy, they're getting a lot of pubs today here. I can tell you, Dan, he batted in played in 33 games for the Rangers last year and did hit .293. You know, he spent the majority of the time in AAA where he hit .289 with 27 home runs. He split some time between Texas and Tampa Bay. He was traded. So, again, I mean, at least it's their guy who looks like he's showing a little potential. But I definitely think Texas could be an option if they want to go out and bring another guy in.
They need to. I mean, you know, kind of looking at that, and we obviously, I think you and I both know, well, you already pulled out the one central team he would fit. You know, we obviously don't see Detroit, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. What's the other team in the Central? Those guys are definitely out because they're not doing anything unless you have to play
Milwaukee?
For free. No, well, Milwaukee's locked. Cubs are locked. Who am I forgetting?
Minnesota.
What are we looking at in Minnesota?
Well, you know, they just got Byron Buxton back, so obviously he'll play center field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another team, you know, ended up spending a lot of money. You know, they spent a lot of money on Josh Donaldson. Eddie Rosario is playing left, and he's coming off a real good year. Jake Cave is the listed starter in right, but don't forget they also have Marwin Gonzalez, who's going to get at bats as a utility guy and play some right field.
What was Reds hangup? Heard nothing about it.
No, I don't know why, you know, well, obviously the Reds dealt him because they wanted Trevor Bauer. I mean, I understood that.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Cleveland didn't have, you know, well, again, Cleveland, again, trying to abort money like you wouldn't believe. So, you know, they went cheaper instead of bringing him in because I know they're playing two of their rookie prospects and then Framil Reyes in the outfield. But, yeah, you know, the Reds ended up signing that the Japanese, one of the Japanese outfielders instead. So you know, that was that, you know, and then they remember they did in Castellanos real late as well.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
So yeah, they went that route. Yeah, he was signing with both Chicago teams. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I
play home games.
Get it. Yeah, that would work out. You could, you know, if, as long as they were in town at the right time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I guess I'm just going to have to suffer and not have Puig on a roster to start the year.
That's just going to be insane. I mean, you know, you kind of ran down the East and, you know, for whatever's going on. I mean, but, you know, speaking of your jinx, do you think if they keep having these issues, he might sign with the Stripes?
You know, that's something that could be possible depending on, you know, how long-term these injuries are. I mean, right now Judge and Stanton aren't supposed to be out that long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would think, you know, and I know, like you mentioned, the Tigers, they did say they were kind of interested in him, but corner outfield isn't a main position for them. And, you know, in the position their team is in, that's understandable. They have,
yeah,
you know, so many. I mean, their starting outfield right now is Kristen Stewart, Jacoby Jones, and your guy Cameron Maben is going to be the starting right fielder.
Wow, they really need to pick up Puig.
So,
you know, but I don't want to. I don't want to jump off this too much, but we're running low on time. And that,
yes,
you kind of brought up with some of these minor leaguers, you know, 30 games here, 20 games there. Do you think, with the new rule change, is that effective this year? And I can't even keep up anymore. My brain is kind of getting that parent brain, I guess. So with the rule change, if that is effective this year, it is, right? The roster updates?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So, I mean, you know, with those guys, those numbers you threw out there, do you think these guys wouldn't have been in the got that time had they not had the 40-man roster expansion in September?
Boy, you know, you do wonder at this point if they would, you know, if we would have seen some of these guys. And it'll be interesting to see how it kind of plays out this year. I mean, I think only like the top of the top prospects are going to be guys we're going to actually see.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was just, you know, it stood out because you're like, oh, Colorado's going with this kid. He played in 33 games. You know, Texas has this kid. He played in 20. And it's like you start putting the numbers together and you're like, oh, these sound like, you know, September call-ups.
Yeah, you know, obviously barring a team having a lot of injuries where these guys would have to come up, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be vastly different now with the roster rule and, you know, how teams kind of juggle their rosters.
Radio.